awakened, our hearts awakened, Lord, our minds awakened now to see your beauty and to see things as they really are. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to look at very briefly the thing out of Romans, the whole thing about our minds and about how God wants to transform our minds so we see things as they really are. And as I was, I've been studying this over the weekend and over the week, it's a very challenging verse as you begin to enter into it. And what I really want to do at the beginning is almost like where we may be, where we are now. Well, some of us where we are, but also where God wants to lead us to over here. One's about being transformed and renewing, so our situation over here is transformed over here and becomes different than where it started from. Over the last few weeks, since the announcement of Rob moving to his new position, his new job, which is actually fantastic, but I know that when we have a time of transition, it opens up a whole lot of insecurity in all of us. We can feel, oh my gosh, what's happening in the future? We think about, oh my gosh, will things continue? We think about fears, and it brings up all sorts of things. And I know in my own personal life, I'm having to deal with insecurities in my life and losing a work colleague and someone I work close with. And it can bring all sorts of things up in our life. And I think it's really important for us as a church to be able to express that. Because when we bring things into the light, into God's love, God's unable to help us through that, to help us move us towards his fantastic destination, which is with him. And you see, what I've noticed in my life is with the Lord, nothing just remains the same except for him. We're always changing because God does not want us to be the same. And to do that, he uses circumstances and situations and change and movement and people coming, people going, because it's about trusting in God and not people like Rob or myself or whatever. We've got to get the right focus. So this morning I'm going to read this. It says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform. What does it mean to conform? This is what I mean. Do not conform with the standards of this world or the patterns of this world. So what is Paul saying about this? He's saying this: it's the ways in which the world has shaped us, how we think and what we should think. And there's three things I'm going to look at that conform us. I'm sure there's more things, but there's three things that God spoke to me over this period of time. One is we're conformed by culture. Secondly, we're conformed by expectations. And thirdly, we're conformed by circumstance. I mean, culture is probably one of the most immediate ones. It's one that we probably all recognize, because culture is not wrong, but culture is not explicitly godly, is it? And I know culture can put pressure into people's lives that actually leads towards things which are not necessarily good. In the church that my dad's part of in London, a church called St. Mary's Marylebone, the prevailing issue with the ladies, young women in their 20s, is eating disorders. The culture, particularly in London, in that particular area, is very much to do with looking good, being beautiful, being thin, the in crowd and all that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of young girls in their 20s who are suffering from bulimia, from eating disorders, who their whole life is falling apart on the basis of what they've been told they should become. And they have a wonderful ministry in London called, it's called New ID Course, which enables them to find their identity in Christ and to be able to deal with the issues that have been transposed upon them, which have caused them to become people that God never intended them to be. So that's a very simple illustration about culture. Secondly, we can be conformed by expectations. And I think expectations are very, very powerful, aren't they? Family, friends, peers. I was brought up in a place called Chorley Wood, where the expectation there was a very middle-class area. It was a place where they expected you to do well at university. They expected you to get a good job and to be successful. And so people are pre-programmed to jump on to that road and that destination. But what is it that God has called you to do? See, God has a plan for your life, and so does everybody else. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And thirdly, we're conformed by circumstance, things that have happened in our past that dictate the way in which we think. Our past old patterns can prevent us from entering in to God's good and pleasing will. And I'll give an example of that. When I was 4 years old, I was looked after by a babysitter who was particularly harsh to me and was quite abusive towards me when I was very, very young. And that had a really detrimental effect on my life because I suddenly became really scared of someone like my parents not being around. And so I was always feared of being abandoned, of being left alone, of the person I love leaving me. And that pattern of seeing things was brought into my everyday life so that when I grew up, I had, you know, different relationships with girls. I'd never could ever settle down because I was scared of getting hurt, but I didn't want them to leave me, so I was the person who kind of was always going around and meeting this person, that person. Another time was then I got into a relationship where the person I was with was, the relationship finished, but my behavior in the relationship was such that I was always thinking, you know, where are they, who are they with, all this kind of stuff. So all this insecurity came out. And so I was being conformed, my behavior's been conformed by what had happened in my past. And I was at my church one day and I just said to the Lord, I've got to deal with this. And so we had Kevin Prosh came over. He led an evening of worship, and I remember standing there in the, not just because of him, but that's why I remember the night. And I was standing there, and I said, Lord, you've got to help me with this. You've got to break the power of this over my life because I'm just so fearful all the time. And so I said, Lord, and so the Lord began to, in the worship, began to minister to me. And I began to feel the Lord come over me, and he began to go into the very deep in here and in my stomach. And I began to feel the Lord moving, and I began to feel, you know, God touching my life. And that evening, I went back to someone's house just to share with what God was doing. And he prayed with me, and he began to break the power of my fear of someone leaving me. And over a period of time, God began to do that. And I'm a happily married man now, and my wife knows I'm not like that. Because God broke the power of those things in my life that prevented me from being what God intended, because I'd been conformed by the patterns of this world. See, the mind is where the battle is won and lost. And our minds are continually filled with all sorts of thoughts. But why is it that our minds tend to focus on the bad? Why is it generally we always think, oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen? Paul exhorts us to fill our minds with that's what is good. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, God wants to deal with our old ways. He doesn't want us to conform to the ways of this world. God wants to reform our old ways, heal us, so that we can walk out in new ways. And there's three things I want to look at here. Firstly, I used to, as I said earlier, but look at the worst scenario. Who does that? You come to a situation and think, if you can think of the worst scenario, if it's not like that, it's going to, phew, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Who does that? We all do that sometimes, don't we? We think, we build up something really, really bad so that you can't be disappointed. And then you have the other side of it, don't you? People who are just real control freaks, and they want to control everything so they don't get hurt. Because if you can control absolutely everything, nothing is going to come back at me. I just love control freaks, don't you? They're just such fun people to hang out with, aren't they? And the other one is running away, isn't it? It's the other one. It's that we run away from the situation. But one thing I'd like to say is this. If you haven't dealt with the thing that has caused you to run, you will only bring it with you into the new situation. It's only a matter of time before the old patterns surface again. As Bob Marley says, you can run and you can run and you can run, but you can't run away from yourself. Bob Marley's great. I love Bob Marley, but I love the Lord much better, obviously. And so we project it onto our situations. We project things which, the things are going to turn out awful. We can either become very controlling of them, or we run away from them. And as I've been reading through this, I realise that we've been given a choice. We can be those who have positive minds full of faith that produce very positive lives, or we can be negative, full of fear and doubt, and have negative lives. And I think we often go between the two, don't we, depending on whether we've had a good day or a good cup of coffee. But you see, what the Lord wants to do is to conform us into his likeness, to renew our minds so that we know God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. It's the transforming of the mind that Lord wants to do so that we will know our plan, his plan, his wonderful plan for our life, so that we can discern his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, how do I explain what God wants to do in our lives in an example or a particular situation? Well, a few years ago, just over 4 years ago, Kath and I were fortunate enough to be able to buy a house. And in the back of the house was this garden. And the garden had about 40 trees in it. It was completely overgrown. It had brambles everywhere. Had all the walls were broken down. There was beer bottles. There was beer cans. There was old beds in there. There was old tires in there. There was rubbish. There was mess. It was a complete mess. And he kind of thought, how on earth are you going to make that into a garden? And I actually love gardens, and I love creation. I just love the beauty of being out there. And my heart was, I just want this to be in a beautiful space. And so to change that space, you have to do something about it. And so I asked a couple of friends of mine, and we came one Saturday morning. We thought, well, let's start the process of beginning to remove some of these trees. And so three of us turned up hoping that the chainsaw that we were going to have turning up was going to turn up. And we turned up, all three of us. Have you got the chainsaw? No. Have you got the chainsaw? No. We haven't got a chainsaw. No, but I've got a yellow saw. And we had a yellow handsaw. And so being sort of three people who are not going to give up, we thought, well, okay, let's get on with this wood. So we got on with this handsaw and this rope, and we began the job of beginning sawing these trees down. And so I think we sawed about 30 or 40 of these things down, floored the area. And it was still just full of mess and everything. So then a few months later, we then got the builders in, who brought a 5 or 6, 7 or 8 ton digger that came in. And it came in and ripped the roots out. It cleared all the wood out. It pulped it. It completely, so we were left with basically just a rectangle here, just with soil in it, and all the walls were down. So the builders then rebuilt the walls. We then had a garden designer who we got to know, and we sat down with them saying, this is what we want to do with this space. And so we thought, well, we want a path here, we want a place over there where we can sit down, we want an area where we can have some grass, we want some shrubs across here, we'd love to grow some things up the wall if there are any walls there. And so we want to make this into a beautiful space. And then we had a fantastic landscape person who came into, his name's Kim. Absolutely legend. And he came round and did the most fantastic job. And he came in there and he took the soil. Well, what was the soil like? So he got it, so found out what the soil was like, dug the soil up, added soil, laid out the grass, laid out the garden, put everything in there, put the plants in, then we added plants and things. And now, 2 years down the line, our garden is absolutely beautiful. It's got plants growing up the wall. It's got a green grass. It's got a wonderful area to sit out. You can smell it in the air, the fragrance of the plants. You've got things which are growing, and I go out there every single day with a coffee, and I just think, wow, I'm just so blessed to be in this space. But you see, before that place could become beautiful, there had to be a time where things had to be cut down. There had to be things that had to be removed. There'd be things that had to be taken out of that space. And that space then had to be redefined so that it could become beautiful. And you see, that's what God wants to do with our minds. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to take those things in our minds, our old ways, our old mindsets, and he wants to turn it into a beautiful garden. And the Lord wants to fill our minds with things which are good. And I think the thing God's really been challenging me on is this whole thing, you know, the media and the internet and the imagery that we have projected into our living rooms is overwhelming, isn't it? And our minds can be filled with such destructive things. And I mentioned this before, I mean, pornography is everywhere these days. And I think as men particularly, we've got to be so careful. Because it's easy to click onto something. It's easy to fill our minds with things that are not of God. But it doesn't enable us to grow into the beauty that God wants us to have. And the Lord wants to transform our minds by the renewing of our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to conform our minds through God's word. He wants to heal our past so that we can become the people God wants us to be. And I was really challenged over Easter as we looked at the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus entered the garden and he was full of fear. And the beginning of the thing, he's saying, Lord, please, if possible, can you take this cup from me? I know I've got to face the cross, but I just don't know if I can do it. And he fell down before God, says, not my will, but yours. And again, he said, Lord, please, can you take this cup from me? And he fell down and said, not my will, but yours. And he did that three times. And you see, what did he do? He named the thing he feared. He named the thing in his life that he needed God to bring an answer to. He named the thing that God wanted to bring him through. Not my cup, but yours. Not my will, but yours. In the garden, Jesus didn't try and control the outcome, but the outcome he left to the will of the Father. And you see, Jesus knows and did and does know what God is like. He says, which of our fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change with shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of this truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of all he has created. And I just want to encourage us, we're going to have a time of ministry in the moment, is that God wants to transform our minds. He wants to no longer for us to conform to the limitations of this world, whether we're being conformed by culture, whether we're being conformed by people's expectations upon our lives. I've met people, I've prayed for people in the 80s who still haven't done what God asked them to do. They said, well, my dad said this. Isn't that sad? And also, I believe the Lord wants the things in our life will be conformed by circumstances. Things that are not necessarily things that are our own outwork. And there'll be things maybe people said to us or people have done to us that have conformed us in the way that we outwork our lives. And I believe that God wants to bring healing to us. So, Jamie, could we have a song? So we've got this Jamie somewhere that we could just have a song and then we'll... And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a song just to allow just some time for the Lord to speak to each one of us. And then we're going to have an opportunity to allow the Lord to minister to us. And I really believe that God really wants to do something deep this morning, because that's what he said to me this morning before I came out. So shall we stand as we get ready to worship? And let's just be open to what the Lord wants to do. It's a very simple message, but it's a very profound outcome of the Lord.